Welcome to Last Weekly,
live via live stream,
where we talk, laugh, and sometimes bitch about the highs and lows of the past week.
Including, is Donald Trump Jr. trying to prove the rotten apple doesn't fall far from the rotten tree? In the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, is justice blind or only able to see double standards in black and white? Does Anthony Nunez think Dune is a sand trap? And we'll tell you if we thought Pixar's Lightyear teaser trailer deserves all the buzz it's getting. I'll be recapping with my incredible co-host, Anthony Tone Show Nunez.
Why, Kevin Williams, thank you so much for the warm intro.
Oh, how yeah. You oh, and I'm Kevin Williams, yes.
Yeah.
It is live. I forgot who I was. All right, let's get right to it, Tone. So what's going on in Hollywood, or I should say in New Mexico, with the whole Alec Baldwin shooting?
Okay, so let's backtrack a little. So this is a story, obviously, that's been evolving a lot. And the facts of what actually happened on the filming of the movie shoot, Rust, they're still in question. Like, they're still investigating. So I really want to take a look at what's happening outside of the picture, specifically what's happening with the media coverage of it, and how people are trying to use the media coverage of it to do what basically humans do, is basically benefit their own side. So there was a tragic shooting on the set of this new Alec Baldwin picture. Most people have heard, but if you haven't heard, the movie is called Rust. Alec Baldwin is starring, and he's also the producer of the film. And the coverage basically came out during this weekend that, the headline would be something like Alec Baldwin shoots cinematographer on set. Like, this is the type of headline we were receiving. And I just want to speak on the fact that it's really interesting to me how we went from, basically, I would say it's just basically media using these headlines to attract attention, to now we're getting more into like actually what happened, how the tragic event happened itself. But I think it was horrible how this was, all these platforms were basically saying Alec Baldwin shoots XYZ. And obviously it was for clickbait reasons that this was happening. So I just think that the angle, the way that the story was being portrayed from the beginning, was horrible. And it should have been something basically simple, like, you know, tragic events happen on the set of Rust or something like that. But no, what we got was much worse.
Oh, absolutely. There are people that have a real problem with Alec Baldwin because of his political affiliation. He is unabashedly liberal, and so a lot of conservative people have been gunning for him, and this was an opportunity. Fox News, those kinds of outlets, this is an opportunity for them, they feel, to take him down, so they're using it that way. I do want to mention right off the top that the New York Times reported that the gun Alec Baldwin was handed by the assistant director was a real firearm, not a prop gun. So initially people were talking about, they're remembering the whole Brandon Lee death when he was shooting The Crow. There was an accident there with a prop gun. This was not a prop gun. This was, in fact, a real gun. And I don't know if you've learned this, but I've learned this through reading a bunch of articles and watching a bunch of things on the news, that you can't even fit real bullets into a prop gun. A gun that's designed to be just that, a prop, and to make a noise, to make a sound like a real gun, but not actually fire bullets. You can't put live ammunition in a prop gun. It's not even sized correctly to hold actual bullets, actual live rounds.
I did not know that. Actually, I learned this week. This week, we've all learned a lot about the technical aspects of what happens on these sets. For example, something that we keep seeing in the different stories is how Alec Baldwin was passed a gun that they basically defined. They said right before they handed it was a cold gun, quote unquote cold. And according to movie speak, cold gun usually means a gun that either has blanks or doesn't have live ammo. A hot gun would be a gun that has live ammo on it. And according to everything that I've seen, live ammo should not be on a set of a movie, on a picture or a set.
What's even more disturbing is apparently there was tons of live ammunition all over this set. Apparently, with the gun that actually ended up killing the cinematographer, they were doing target practice with it earlier, which is unbelievably shocking. unbelievably disturbing. The person in charge of the prop guns, or the guns, I should say, this was, I believe, her second outing in this particular kind of role. She was a model before, which I know people are going to come for me for mentioning the fact that she was a model. But when I read that, I was like, wow. I mean, apparently, and also it speaks to me to nepotism in Hollywood, because her father apparently did this kind of job. Her father was in show business. He handled prop guns and guns in other films. And so I think that's how she got her foot in the door in the first place. But the idea that they were actually using real guns and not prop guns is disturbing. And in the wake of this, there have been announcements by not one, but two different television shows that they're changing their game. So it was just announced that Amazon Prime Video's The Boys, as well as ABC's The Rookie, will no longer allow actual guns on their sets. All their guns from now on will be prop guns.
Which, to specify what Kevin said, basically guns that cannot fire. Because my understanding is now that a lot of these sets and a lot of TV shows just use real firearms and they just use blank when recording. And a lot of conversations being had about how come in 2021 we're still using live firearms on the sets of movies when special effects and CGI are at the point where we basically can fake an incredible world like Avatar, for example. You had also a lot of filmmakers, producers, a lot of people in the industry who came forth this week and just shared their thoughts. One that stuck out for me was a tweet by James Gunn, who tweeted out whether work with automobiles, ratchet pulls, helicopter, drones, forklifts, firearms, or anything even slightly dangerous, producers, directors, heads of department, and all crew need to make sure all rules are being followed and qualified individuals are involved. I think that really speaks to what Kevin was saying before about it's a lot of times these things happen and people obviously are going to search for cause, but there's a lot of moving factors, a lot of things that can be taken into account here. And what Kevin just said about the people are discussing the background of different people. Another thing about the story that I found kind of reckless, I would say, basically from the media, like the first two things that I read regarding this went in depth about what the past history of Alec Baldwin's been. Like, how is that pertinent to what happened on set? Like, and again, this goes to the reporting. Like, for example, the New York Post has had a lot of reporting on this, and people have taken basically the story as ammo to attack Alec Baldwin. I'm not a big fan of Alec Baldwin per se, but I'm just saying, like, the coverage should be basically on the events that happened, and people shouldn't be using this basically to profiteer off it or to attack his views. I think he's come out against, I guess, anti-gun stance. And for example, Kevin, what were you going to touch on about Donald Trump Jr.?
Oh, I will in a second, but I wanted to clear one other thing up before we move on to that angle of the story. So the person who was the in charge of all the guns, the gun props, the weapon prompts, props, it was Hannah Gutierrez Reed, and she's a 24-year-old former model. So she was talking about this particular job on a podcast called Voices of the West. And she was talking about this in August, and she was saying how this is her first job where she is the head armorer in August when she discussed this. So she was saying how it was a sweet gig and how excited she was about this. And also she thought that she said, I think the best part about my job is just showing people who are normally kind of freaked out by guns how safe they can be, and how they're not really problematic unless put in the wrong hands. So she literally said that in August, and now one person is dead and another person was wounded, and it is so sad and so shocking. So as far as people using this for their own benefit, let's talk about Donald Trump Jr. So he actually is selling a t-shirt that says, guns don't kill people, Alec Baldwin kills people. And the shirt is $27.99. What bothers me about this is how disgusting do you have to be to try and make money and to make fun? Obviously, he has a problem with Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin did a caricature of his father on Saturday Night Live. But a woman is dead. Someone's wife is dead. Someone's daughter is dead. People's friend is dead. Siblings have lost a sister. I just can't believe how quickly everybody just pounced on this on the right as a way to attack Alec Baldwin. It's just stunning to me. I'll say this right here and right now. He won't be charged with any kind of crime because he didn't commit a crime. He's an actor on a set. Someone handed him a gun and it wasn't supposed to be loaded. And unfortunately, someone is dead. Now, someone should be charged because it looks like this is beyond an accident. This is negligence or something like that. And someone should be charged, but Alec Baldwin won't be charged with anything. So the idea that you're going to try and take a swipe at him while somebody literally is burying their loved one who died out of nowhere just is so disgusting.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, Kevin. I agree with you. Like, the story it's basically gotten out of just being about the actual tragic events, and now it's just basically fodder for anybody who wants to use it.
Yeah, super disgusting. All right, so let's move on to the next story. There was another thing that happened like a day ago that was pretty shocking. So the judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse case said that lawyers cannot call the two people that were killed by this guy victims. Rittenhouse killed two people and wounded another with an AR-15 style weapon. The judge says victim is too loaded of a term, but will let lawyers call, defense lawyers can call the people who were killed rioters, looters, or arsonists. What do you think?
Well, when I read this, I immediately my brain went to the fact that maybe this is a right-leaning judge, or maybe being a judge, it says it in the name, you're supposed to be unbiased. But after reading more about this, CNN has actually reports that this is not the first time that this particular judge, Judge Bruce Schroeder, actually has a long-standing rule. Like, he does not allow prosecutors in his courtroom basically to refer to people as victim. And it looks like this is something that's kind of something that there's an argument for it as from a legal standpoint, because according to him, the word victim or even alleged victim is a charged word, which in and of itself kind of indicates fault on the other person who's at the other table, I'm assuming. So even though I think CNN, the story that I read was on CNN, and I see CNN is a left-leaning publication, I would say that reading the story, this seems more to be about this particular judge's view and how he runs his courtroom than I can't assume what the man's thinking in his head. But again, the term victim itself seems, this is not the only argument. If you look it up, there seems to be other arguments where people on the defense side don't want to allow the prosecutor to use the word victim. But I think the word rioter and looter is as charged as any. So that's the point that I don't.
Okay, I was going to say. Okay, I got a couple things to say. First of all, I hate the fact that what you said about CNN being left leaning. That is the BS that the right has been saying. The right has been trying to portray any kind of news outlet that actually tells the truth as left-leaning. Because you know what else is left-leaning? The truth. Reality is left-leaning. And so if you deal in reality, you're going to be called left-leaning. So it bothers me that they've been successful in indicting news outlets as being left that aren't right-leaning. So Fox News isn't left-leaning, so they're just fair because they're like right-leaning and don't tell the truth. So that bothers me that we're even playing into their hands saying something like that about CNN. Can you say MSNBC is left-leaning? Absolutely. They market themselves that way. They present themselves that way. I don't believe CNN does that. So that's there's that. The idea, if you want to say that this judge has had a problem with the term victim for a while, I have no problem with that if he doesn't let people be referred to as victims when they've been shot. Because if someone's a victim, then that means someone's at fault. I can understand that. But if the term victim is charged, how can you say calling people arsonist when we don't know they're arsonists, calling people rioters as opposed to protesters or looters when they don't have any, they're not looting in the act of looting when they got shot. So I don't understand how you can say how one is highly charged and the other isn't, and the other thing is okay.
Kevin, but honestly, wouldn't you say that all media is either right or left? Everybody has a bias. Like, I don't think it's wrong to say that CNN is left leaning, New York Times left leaning, Washington Post left leaning, Newsmax all the way right into the wall.
No, there are absolutely some. There are absolutely some outlets that are absolutely leaning. I'm not saying there aren't some that are leaning, and they present themselves that way. But there are some that are basically just delivering news, and they're not trying to lean left or right. In fact, if anything, I feel like because of the continued charge, outlets like CNN actually, to me, lean more right than they do left because of the fact that, again, I believe reality leans to the left, and that is why they've had to create their own news outlets, because of the fact that they don't like reality. There's no outlet that's going to tell the truth that Republicans and people on the right aren't going to have a problem with. That's why they keep creating more faux outlets. The idea that Fox News wasn't faux news enough for a lot of people on the right, including Donald Trump, just open the door for even more reality-free, quote-unquote, news content and outlets to pop up. And so I feel like we're doing their work when we're saying that CNN or ABC, NBC, CBS, any regular news outlet is leaning left if they're not leaning right. That there can't be people who are just trying to tell the news as it actually is.
Let's dive into that a little bit more. So Fox News, for example, who I obviously consider a conservative news source and right leaning, like you said, Donald Trump has now said that they've actually moved more to the left because they don't spew his, you know, whatever comes out of his mouth. And then we have OWN and Newsmax and all these other places, which are basically allegedly pseudo news. But to say that something has a left leaning, I don't think that's, again, offensive. I think that, if anything, that's letting the right kind of take the conversation over, because if every news source has a bias, and I don't think there's any news source that we could really point to that say it's completely right or left. But just because a news source is on the left doesn't mean that it's wrong. And just because a news source is on the right, I don't think it's wrong either. Like, I don't feel like this is something that they've won. Like, do you want to go further into that?
Okay, all I'm going to say is when it comes to journalism, there are people who try to put whatever they personally think out the window and focus on what actually happened and give you just the facts and then let you make the decision. And so to say that every news outlet is trying to push an agenda, there are absolutely news outlets that have an agenda. And I don't even mind, honestly, if Fox News leaned to the left and was telling news with a left perspective, but dealt with the facts and told the truth and didn't work with the double standard, I'd have no problem with it. So you can have a point of view. I feel like we have a point of view, but try to give information that we find as neutrally as we can, but share what we think ourselves. I feel like a news outlet that actually is held to a journalistic standard, because we're not journalists, I feel like you can actually be an outlet that is just delivering the news, that is not delivering the news with an agenda attached to it. And I feel like what conservatives have done has put out the idea that all news comes out with an agenda, and any news they disagree with is a left-leaning agenda, as opposed to just the facts, just reality. And sometimes the reality of the world doesn't fit into their agenda. So anyway, so for those of you who may not remember, how the whole thing started with Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse, this happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, last August. He ended up shooting some people. There were protests that after another black man was shot by a police officer, and this happened a few months after George Floyd's killing. And so there were protests, and some protests that turned into riots that happened. And then a whole bunch of like armed, some would say militia people just kind of showed up. And in fact, let me read a quote from one of the people shot by Kyle. So a man who was wounded by Kyle Rittenhouse called the Kenosha shooting a natural consequence of police allegedly deputizing a white nationalist militia and funneling protesters to them. And so also there were people, there was actually video that was all over social media of the police giving water to Kyle Rittenhouse and actually thanking these citizens that came with these long guns that showed up that were from other places, of which Kyle Rittenhouse was another one who drove across state lines to quote-unquote protect businesses and protect property, and ended up killing two people and wounding another.
Yes, and this was a highly documented. There's so much video of the events of that night, and one of the clips that made the rounds that a lot of people were enraged about was after the shooting took place. Kyle Rittenhouse tried to surrender, like to this military. The police at the time were driving around like these militaristic vehicles. Basically, they were like in a tank, and he had a weapon. He was trying to surrender. And the police went right by him, and he continued on, and they didn't stop him or anything. And I remember a lot of people were just like, how could this be a man armed? And the police just went by them. But there were so many people who, quote unquote, showed up to protect businesses who were not from that area, that the police were basically, it looked like they were accepting their help, or like they were there to support the police because the police were being very friendly with them. Something that a lot of the protesters that night who were there, had a completely different reaction from the police, and these were people who were unarmed.
Oh, completely different reactions. And again, if Kyle weren't white, the reaction to him walking around with a long gun and then trying to flag down the police, he probably would have been shot by the police, let alone like not picked up or arrested. But this is all about perception, because people keep showing these pictures of Kyle and like, and he has a very cherubic face. And so the idea that he's innocent and because of how he looks and how he's even perceived is so different from how others are perceived. Because with Trayvon Martin, the way the right came out against him after he was shot, if you guys remember, walking home from a convenience store with some Skittles and a soda. And he was shot by another vigilante, in my opinion, just like Kyle was a vigilante. And so he was wearing a hoodie. And the way they came for him on the right for wearing a hoodie, and I'm going to quote one person on the right specifically. Geraldo Rivera on Fox News said, "I think the hoodie is as much responsible for Trayvon Martin's death as George Zimmerman was. You have to recognize this whole styling yourself as a gangsta." That's how he said it, gangsta. Well, you want to be a gangsta. Wait a minute. Well, you want to be a wannabe gangsta? Well, people are going to perceive you as a menace. And so I love the idea that Trayvon Martin wearing a hoodie meant that he was perceived as a menace, but this white guy walking around with an AK isn't considered a menace. And what is the difference? Why isn't he considered a menace? Because of the color of his skin. And speaking of hoodies, burst on the scene, like, I don't know, was it 5-10 years ago? Justin Bieber, He constantly wore hoodies. Nobody was saying that he was styling himself as a gangster. Nobody thought of him as a gangster. Why? What is the difference between Justin Bieber wearing a hoodie and Trayvon Martin walking home on a cold, wet, rainy night wearing a hoodie? Why is one a wannabe gangster and one the other one isn't?
I think, Kevin, also that you just point that out. Mark Zuckerberg, at one point, only wore hoodies and t-shirt. And I never seen anyone refer to Mark Zuckerberg as a gangster. Maybe as Big Brother, but not a gangster. So something else to point out, I'm not even going to make believe to know what that word that you described him as, his face, but basically Kyle Rittenhouse, they're using basically the same type of optics. I'm not sure if you remember, Kevin, but years ago when the Boston bombing happened, one of the bombers was featured in Rolling Stone, and they basically portrayed, they portrayed him as some type of baby face, like, I don't know, something like some kid out of a pop group or something like that. So I feel like Kyle Rittenhouse is the same thing is going on here. Like the images that they're portraying him are basically supposed to like show this innocence. While a lot of times suspects, depending on where they come from or like their background, they're not portrayed as this. And I think the Rolling Stone cover of that bomber and now like the covers that Kyle Rittenhouse is getting, kind of shows this. By the way, he was not supposed to be armed. He was a minor at the time, I believe, and he wasn't supposed to have a gun either. Like this is a gun that was purchased for him or something like that. So he was no way supposed to be there or be armed at the time. So
yeah, and also it's called that they're referring to it as self defense. That's what his team is saying, and his team has been given tons of money, by people who've donated. A Kickstarter program happened immediately after he was arrested, and they have made untold amounts of money, people supporting him and celebrities on the right supporting him for getting in a car, driving across state lines, and going there to basically protect property, as opposed to the police whose job it is. That's called vigilantism. And again, it's completely different way he was treated because of the fact it's his white skin. And when I said cherubic, it means like a cherub kind of face, a baby face, that puffy cheeks kind of thing. That's what – so because of that, we're supposed to see him as this innocent, but yet we can't see – Trayvon Martin as innocent because he had a sweatshirt with a hood on it on a rainy night walking home. So one is suspicious and one is innocent, even when they're walking around with an illegally held firearm shooting people. That person is innocent. That, and what's innocent is their lack of melanin in their skin, as far as I'm concerned. And also, this case made me think of Tamir Rice. Tamir Rice was a 12-year-old boy playing in a park on a swing. Somebody called the police because they thought they saw him with a gun. He, in fact, had a toy gun. He was sitting on a swing. The police arrived, shot him immediately. The police car didn't even come to a complete stop. They didn't even say anything to this kid, like, put down your weapon or anything. Immediately killed him. Yet, somebody during, quote unquote, their language, a riot, walking around with a long gun, waving at police, they don't even stop to pick him up. And again, you can't tell me that this isn't about skin color. I mean, you can tell me, I won't believe you.
No, I don't see how it's defensible. And these are examples that are just completely, again, shown happen, occur all time and time again. And this is what we get. And just like the case with the Boston bomber that I was referring to, at the time, a lot of people were saying, like, why didn't the victims get the cover? But instead, the cover went to the bomber. And in this case, why can't the victims be called victims in their own courtroom? Instead, where the judge is saying it's okay to call them rioters or looters. So I'm going to leave that. That's where I'm going to leave that one. Kevin, let's move on, hopefully, to something more lighter.
Oh, well, but before we move to something light, let me say something, one last thing about this. The Onion, a satirical publication, posted, judge mandates prosecutors can only refer to Kyle Rittenhouse as a hero. The funny thing is, it's supposed to be satire, but our world is so upside down and so crazy right now, I wouldn't be surprised if that was actually true.
That was The Onion?
Yeah, that was The Onion. So, yeah, it's so... The satire
Gotten so accurate.
It's so hard to be satirical in a world that is so friggin' crazy. All right, you're right. We do need to lighten things up. So let's lighten things up first by talking about the movie Dune. The movie Dune just today it was announced that there will be a Dune 2. It's getting a sequel. It did that well in theaters and airing on HBO Max. So I thought, what a great excuse to have Tone give us an impromptu review of the movie Dune. I haven't seen it yet. I'm curious to find out what you thought of it and if I should see it. And do you think it's a movie that needs to be seen in a theater? Because like I said before, it's available currently on HBO.
Wow, Kevin, just put me on the spot. So yeah, Dune has officially gotten a sequel from Warner Brothers. They greenlit it. The movie, I believe, made $41 million at its opening. And you might say, oh my God, $41 million is so low. But remember, we're still in a pandemic. People want to say post-pandemic, but no, we're in a pandemic. And the numbers are not what they used to be before. This was a dual release. So Dune was also in theaters and on HBO Max. We don't know how many people stayed at home and watched it on HBO Max at the time. So we don't know if those people who stayed at home obviously put a dent in those seats in that box office. A lot of times though, a movie, let's say, is not as successful, Kevin. Just for our viewers or our listeners, and the studio will actually go ahead and they'll green light the sequel if they feel like it'll actually give a boost to the movie, because you know how a lot of the whole marketplace has evolved, like on iTunes, of people just going and catching up, like doing homework, so they can see the newest movie. So a lot of people went and watched. This Dune is a remake. So they went on there. They saw the original so they can do some homework and see what's happening here. Now, as far as doing the movie itself, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I will say that this is an opera. I would call this like a space opera. It's a huge cast. A lot of talented people are in this movie. And it has a specific, I would say, aesthetic that it kind of takes on. If you've seen the original movie, I believe a lot of people who are fans of Dune, for some reason, it has a cult following. I was never really into the original, but this movie itself has an aesthetic, and it has like a weight to it. Like when you go to watch this movie, I saw it at home on HBO Max, by the way. And watching the movie on HBO Max, I can tell you that I wish I would have seen it on a big screen, because it does have that big blockbuster feel. It does have like the visuals. You can tell that they would just look outstanding on a huge screen. And the actors, all the actors, I think did a great job on the cast. The story itself, it's a story that you would have to really like sit down and like chew on. It's not something like I would say is popcorn. I would basically refer it more to like a space opera, like I said. It's something that's really long. And this is just, I would say, it's not spoiling anything by saying that they're going to have a sequel. So the story continues. So this is basically the beginning of the story. And, when the movie ended, I didn't know a sequel was coming. So I was kind of like, obviously there were questions there. So I think if you go into this, it'd be great if you actually, the sequel came out and you watched it right before the sequel, just like Halloween Kills. Like this feels more like a piece of a bigger set. So you definitely want to see this movie before you go on to the next one. But for a casual viewer, I'm not sure if Dune would be something you would watch if you were a casual viewer, honestly. I found it entertaining. But if you're not really into sci-fi, if you're not into like these like huge set pieces, if you're not, it's not something, a story that I would say is something that you just watch and just like popcorn. Like there's a lot of like, what did that mean? What's this about? Like you got to do a lot of homework. So that's what I would tell you.
Well, clearly,
basically. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say, clearly this is all movies now, almost nothing is meant to be a standalone thing. Studios want to have a cinematic universe because that is where the real money comes in, a part two, part three, part four. So the fact that when the movie came to the end, you felt like the story wasn't completed. I don't think that was an accident. I think there was already a plan to have more films. So it was going to be based on how well it did. And I think it must have done, even though they haven't released the hard numbers, clearly there enough people watched it on HBO Max that they think that there's a reason to do another one of these, when hopefully, if COVID isn't completely in our rearview mirror, it's more in the rearview mirror. a year, 2 years from now. So that would be when the next movie would come out. So let's mention the people that were in this. Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya is in this, as well as, oh my God, what is Aquaman? What's his name?
Aquaman?
The actor who plays Aquaman.
I just know him as the guy from Stargate. I don't even know his name, Kevin. But there's a lot of talent on this.
Oh, Jason Momoa.
Go ahead, Kevin.
No, God, I'm done. Aquaman, Jason Momoa. I couldn't remember his name, and it came to me finally.
Oh, speaking of,
Jason Momoa was in Dune.
Yeah, Jason Momoa was in Dune. No, yeah, that's what I said. Aquaman. But speaking of Aquaman, something that I would say about this movie, and it's something that you can say about a lot of these comic book movies, specifically all these Marvel movies, is like a lot of these times you see these movies, and it doesn't feel like it's a. I'm really biased. I really like the Marvel movies, but a lot of times they feel more like, you know, this movie is basically a setup or a base for the next movie. And a lot of times these Marvel movies, and I would say this kind of like we're doing also, it's like, it doesn't feel like it's a story in itself that needs to be told. Like a lot of times you watch a film and a film is great for itself. Like think Memento. Or for example, basically any Christopher Nolan movie, it's like a self-contained story, and you really don't feel like you need to see anything after that. Like the story itself, like, well, and it has a particular meaning behind the story. But a lot of times with these blockbuster films, it just feels basically like, well, this is just one story leading us to the next story. And at the end of the story, there's going to be something that's revealed that we need to see the next one. So I feel like in a sense, like movies themselves, like we're losing something about that, because before movies used to be like messages in a bottle that you would receive. Like, oh, I remember this movie. You know, I learned this about this movie. And now where we are as far as cinema and the competition and that there exists with all these different type of mediums now with online. And you have straight to DV of video and streaming. Like it always has to be a setup for a next movie, because one movie's not enough, and there's always has to be. I'm not saying it's a cash grab, but you know everything is basically from a financial standpoint.
Well, no, I am saying it's absolutely a cash grab, Tone. The term cinematic universe, everything is about cinematic universes now. Look at a movie like A Quiet Place, which initially was sold as this is just going to be a good horror sci-fi popcorn movie. Then we got part two, and now it's been announced part three is happening. So it's the A Quiet Place cinematic universe. We have the Dune cinematic universe. So not only can there be a few movies under that name, but then there can also be side movies. Look at Star Wars, all the Star Wars movies, there's the main trilogy, all these offshoot side movies, side characters. I'm sure, depending on how well Dune 2 does, I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Momoa, if he doesn't die in the first one, no spoilers, there could be a side movie with him. So it's just all about it being interconnected. And you're talking about how these each Marvel movie is a commercial for the next one. It absolutely is like it's – the Disney Plus thing, they're all TV shows. They're just big budget TV shows. It's like a never ending soap opera where each thing leads to the next thing. So if you watch this, stay tuned for the next thing. That's all it is. It's to keep us coming back, keep putting butts in the seats. They're going to continue to do this as long as we keep going to see these things. So if we go to see Dune Part 2, there'll be a Dune Part 3.
And adding to that, Kevin, like when you were talking about the cast, besides Jason Momoa, it's like it's amazing how many actors, like this is a huge ensemble cast. Like it's amazing how many actors were from Marvel. Like Josh Brolin was in this, David Bautista. You had Stellan Skarsgård from the Thor movies. Like there were so many people from comic book movies. The guy who plays Polka Dot Man, David Dasmalchian. He was in this as well. And we also had Jason Momoa, Aquaman. So we're at the point right now that if you're a working actor who wants to be a working actor who works and who's profitable, you have to do a Marvel movie. And this was basically going around and collecting all the different Marvel actors.
Well, every actor of any note is now a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, pretty much. I mean, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe now, as is Angelina Jolie in the upcoming Eternals. They got her. They got her. Oh, also, oh my God.
Yeah, Selma Hayek too.
Selma Hayek. So they have these big name actors. Everybody is, almost anybody with a name is a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And talk about cinematic universes colliding. Let's talk about the teaser trailer for Lightyear, which is part of the Toy Story Cinematic Universe. They're expanding it by telling us the story that is the toy is based on. So Buzz Lightyear is the toy from the Toy Story movies. This Lightyear is supposed to be the story that that toy is based on. And talk about cinematic universes crossing over. Who is the voice of Lightyear, the character, Buzz Lightyear, not the toy, but the movie character? Chris Evans, who just happens
every
to
working
be,
Marvel movie.
Yeah, who just happens to be Captain America from the Marvel movies. So everything's colliding and crossing over. So let me read you the synopsis, if you want to call it that, for Lightyear. So this the story of Buzz Lightyear and his adventures to infinity and beyond. They worked so hard on that synopsis, Tone. what did you think of the teaser trailer for this movie coming out in 2022?
So Lightyear is coming out in 2022. It's an upcoming computer animated science fiction movie. It's from Pixar Animated Studios with Walt Disney Pictures. So you know everybody's gonna die. You're gonna be depressed and you're gonna cry. So like you said, it stars Chris Evans, and this is very meta. I would say, because in order the easiest way that my wife described it to me, she's like, "Well, this movie is about the human Buzz Lightyear, not the toy." And it's a very quick, I would say it's like a minute and change. It's more like a sneak peek into this. And I was just amazed, Kevin. Did you ever watch Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix?
Oh my God. I watched it. We reviewed it on TV Channeling, my other podcast. Absolutely loved it. And I think I know what you're going to say. There is so many branding opportunities in this teaser alone. There is a robot that apparently is like teaching some kind of class or something like that. That I'm like, oh my God, they are going to be selling that at every Disney park, that orange robot, it's going to get sold. There is like a robotic cat. I think it's going to be on, you're going to be buying it for your daughter, for Christmas. I am absolutely certain she's going to want that orange robotic cat and that orange lovable teaching robot. So yeah.
And what was most surprising to me were two things about this trailer. Well, first, aesthetically, like Kevin said, there's these robots in it, but it just looks like a real, there's these, basically the video game, graphics that we see nowadays, like they're so realistic. And Love, Death, and Robots had a couple of episodes in that anthology series where they basically look like live action. Like that's the point that we are right now.
Photorealistic is the term. It looks.
So photo, this trailer, they don't look like the Toy Story. Like the other big thing behind the aesthetic look of it was the tone, Kevin. Like, were you surprised that this seems so serious and dramatic? Like, I thought it was going to be a comedy, but no.
I think they're playing this as a straight up sci-fi adventure. That's what it looks like. We see the character Buzz Lightyear, the man Buzz Lightyear, launching into space. We see him holding on to the throttle as it's shaking, as he's literally rocketing past the sun. It looked amazing. My jaw hit the floor. This, like you said, the trailer is less than 2 minutes long. It looked amazing. It alludes to a couple of funny parts where the robotic cat startles Buzz, and he kind of does a karate stance, like "Don't f with me, robotic cat," kind of thing. So there's going to be a couple of funny moments. It's Pixar, so they've got to have some fun. But I think they're going to play this as a straight sci-fi. I'll say it this way: they're going to play it as straight as any Marvel action adventure. So there'll be humor, there'll be some one-liners, there'll be some jokes, but I think it's going to be more of a straight action adventure.
Indeed. I think you're going to leave this one. Like I said, this is Pixar. So like Soul and Up, you're just going to leave with a broken heart. And they just kill you, these Pixar people. And speaking of kill you, what happened to Tim Allen? What did Tim Allen do? Not to be Buzz Lightyear. Like,
I thought that was very smart to not have Tim Allen do the voice, because let's be honest, Tim Allen is up there. This is supposed to be a movie character that's a younger guy, and to have Tim Allen still doing the voice, I think it makes more sense. And when you can have Chris Evans doing press for this movie and going on talk shows versus Tim Allen, I think that's an easy gimme that Chris Evans is going to be a better go-to. And can we talk about the modeling of Buzz Lightyear, the man versus the toy? Because some people might have referred to the character design as tasty. I don't know. What do you think?
I thought it was quite photorealistic. I don't know about tasty. And Kevin, you think, I don't know, Chris Evans has said some things on social media to get people riled up. I think Tim Allen would be kind of a shoo-in for some family-friendly stuff. And also, aren't dolls like supposed to have like the voice of the actual character? Like, you remember when you were a kid and you pull a string on something and the voice, you know, like, for example, I have this Mr. T keychain that says, I'm going to kick your, what is it? Shut up, sucker. You know, like, I don't know.
I hear what you're saying, but sometimes I'm sure they'll even write it into the movie or whatever, because I believe this is supposed to be, I'm not quite sure. I thought this was supposed to be the story that Lightyear is the movie that the toy is based on. So it's not supposed to be like a real person, but this is a movie. So I think they can do some, we're going to talk about going meta, where they can even have some kind of little like scene after the credits where the actor is like, wait, they want me to go and record for a toy and they're not going to pay me anything extra? Yeah, let them get somebody else to do it. Let them get Tim Allen. They can even say his name and that'll be like a real joke or something in there. So I think that they'll find a way to work.
I can see that. I can see how that would be. Yeah, you're right, Kevin. That doesn't mean that Tim Allen might not make a guest appearance later on as a doll or something. You're completely right.
No, but I have to say, it looked absolutely amazing. And so let's get to the thing that we always do at the end, where we actually judge what we thought of the trailer. And this is a teaser, so it's even harder because it was so short. Oh, you said something about tear jerking and making us cry. Okay. This is a prediction. I'm probably wrong, but there is a female character who happens to be African American. And they tease, talk about teasing with the teaser trailer. They tease the famous line that Buzz Lightyear always says, to infinity and beyond. So they're both in their uniforms, their space suits. And she says to him, to infinity. And they bump fist, and he goes, and the trailer ends. But it looks like they're taking off together. It wouldn't be a Pixar film if somebody didn't tragically die and someone has to overcome that death. And so as soon as they like fist bumped and looked at each other with friendship, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, sister. Yeah, you're not going to see the end of this movie. So I don't know. I could be wrong, but something tells me she's going to be kicking it with Jamie Foxx in the afterlife in Soul Part 2.
In Soul 2 on Disney Plus. It's part of
the Soul Cinematic Universe. All right, Tone. So, what are you giving this trailer? And for those of you who are new or are returning, because we haven't done our rating system in a while because of the pandemic. So, there's three possible ratings for any trailer. If the trailer did its job and made you want to put on pants and leave your house and go to a movie theater, you give that trailer a movie theater. If the trailer was just okay and you might end up wanting to check out this movie on a streaming service one day, then you give that trailer a Netflix. But if that trailer was such an abomination that took, in this case, a minute of your and a half of your life you could never get back, then you give that trailer a kill. All right, Tone, What are you giving Disney / Pixar's Lightyear teaser trailer?
Kevin, I would actually give this a movie theater. But since my 6-year-old daughter is terrified of anything Toy Story, I don't know why, I'm going to have to give it a Netflix, which in this case is a Disney Plus with the premium $29.99 added cost. What about you? Got a premium price.
Wait a minute. So your daughter doesn't like any of the Toy Story films. She's like not down with the toys being alive, or what is it about them?
Something about the toys talking really freaks her out. I don't know what it is. Anything Toy Story related, she screams. That, and she can't stand Despicable Me either.
Wait. Your daughter doesn't like the Minions?
She finds them terrifying. I'm like, I don't
Oh my god, that is so funny, because you know all the research that goes into making things like super adorable to make little girls like your daughter want sheets and t-shirts and shampoos and cereals, all based on this character, and the fact that the characters with the little gibberish they say, that is disturbing to her, is just so delicious. Not as delicious as the design for Buzz Lightyear. But still pretty delicious.
Kevin, we're going to have an episode. Remember when we talked in a prior episode about people were fantasizing about that bunny in Space Jam. Like,
Lola Bunny and all the, yes. Oh my God. Okay. You know what? I will predict right now. I shouldn't, but I'm still going to do it. How many little homosexuals that are like 8 and 9 are going to have their awakening when they show Buzz Lightyear walking in slow motion towards that ship? They're going to be like, oh, I'm catching feelings. I'm catching feelings. All right. So. All right. So,
okay, Kevin,
I too am gonna give this a movie theater. Oh God, I feel, now that I say that, people are like, "Well, yeah, we know why, Kevin." No. Beyond that, again, Pixar has me. Pixar has to work hard to make me not want to see a Pixar movie. I loved Soul. Soul was so good. We talked about how, you and I talked about how photorealistic that was. There was a scene where the lead character, Jamie Foxx's character, is on a subway, and it's like autumn in New York, and it was so beautiful. This looks so amazing. The smoke as he's rocketing, leaving Earth for the first time. It looked better than Star Wars or something. That's how good of a sci-fi look it had. And when we get to the planets and when we see the movie's version of those three-eyed aliens that your daughter probably has nightmares about, it's going to be epic looking. I can't wait for this. This looks like it's going to be so much fun. You know, again, Chris Evans hotness aside, it looks like it's going to be a fun film.
So that's a movie theater, right?
Yeah, it's a movie theater. And when I say Chris Evans, I mean the character. That's another thing. We get to see Buzz Lightyear's hair for the first time because, you know, Buzz Lightyear has that thing that's like that skull cap on underneath the helmet. But we see Buzz Lightyear's hair, and his hair looks shockingly very similar to Chris Evans.
Tim Allen's like, where's that gonna be my hair?
No, it's not. No, it's Chris Evans's hair. Chris Evans's it's a lot like, there was a thing where oh my God, Conan O'Brien used to have a bit ages ago called If They Made It, where he'd take a picture of two different celebrities and then mix them together. So like if they had a baby, basically they took like the parts of the Buzz Lightyear character and like how much of it can we make into Chris Evans to basically mess up little gay boys, and they like got the perfect blend ship to be like, yeah, okay, we made him kind of tasty. So yeah, they got it just right, Tone. Just right.
Now that you've left no cap or stone left unturned with this, I have a minute above my head, Kevin. You want to take us out?
Okay, so... We want to thank you so much for listening. So if you want to talk to us on social media and share how disturbed you are by everything I've said in the last few minutes of this episode,
please do.
Please reach out. You can tell me I was wrong on Facebook. You can tell me I was wrong on Instagram and on Twitter. We are Last Weekly everywhere, and we would love to hear from you. And also, if you want to check out our show and listen to us in a way other than how you're listening right now, just go to lastweekly.com for links to absolutely, positively everything we do. Also, Tone, who does our theme song?
And our theme song is by Dyla, and it's a song, Lush. Kevin, don't forget, they can also listen and watch old episodes of Last Weekly.
Oh, I forgot about that. They absolutely can. All right. And so I want to thank you so much for listening. And I hope that you'll join us for the next episode of Last Weekly. Because the week doesn't end, say it with me, Tone,
until
we say so.
Say so.
Not even close this time. Not even close. It's all because of the... I blame the live stream. I blame the live stream. All right. Bye.
Goodbye.
Tasty.
Oh, God.